Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace. Is work a good thing? Most of us would answer with a hearty yes. Is working hard a noble enterprise? And again, most of us would answer with a hearty yes. And yet Solomon, as he investigates the various areas of life that people pursue in order to try to find happiness and satisfaction in life, comes to the conclusion that a lot of work is not very noble and is not necessarily a good thing. And that's surprising, because we who are Christians, and I think most who listen to this broadcast are, know that God created man to work. God blessed work. God commanded us to work. God altered the world at the time of the fall to make it necessary to work if we're going to eat. By the sweat of your brow, you'll toil the earth and produce the food. And so we know that, and we know the commandment that says, 6 days shall you labor and do all of your work. You're not supposed to labor 7 days, but you are required, or at least told, to labor 6 days. Required is the wrong word, and I don't want to go back to that again, but there were a lot of exceptions to the 6 day work week in the Old Testament, but that was the general pattern. 6 days work, 1 day off, 6 days work, 1 day off, and then along would come a week with other days off. But working, obviously, is considered to be a good thing and is painted in a very favorable light in the Scriptures as a general rule. And refusing to work is certainly considered to be a sin. And yet, Solomon says, don't consider work to be the avenue that's going to produce fulfillment and happiness in life, because in many cases, many, many cases, that is not so. And that's what he's showing us in chapter 4, and we'll continue our study. Thank you for joining me on this Tuesday, August 25, and thank you for considering our financial needs in airing this broadcast on this station. Well, we are down to number 5, and we're about halfway through our examination of the 5th category of work that Solomon is examining here. There are 6 altogether. Number 1 is working without hope. Number 2, working to achieve status. Number 3, refusing to work. Number 4, getting work out of balance in your life. And on the other hand, getting work in proper balance. He showed both sides of that in verse 6. But then when we come to verses 7 through 12, he talks about working in isolation without companionship, without anyone to share your life with. And that doesn't bring satisfaction. Someone who works only for himself. He has no children that he's working for. He has no relatives that he's working for and sharing with. He has no friends, close friends that are close enough to share his life with. And yet he's driven by greed, and he never has enough. And he works and works and works, but he works without satisfaction because he's working alone in isolation. And after painting that picture in verses 7 and 8, Solomon goes on to give a statement on the value of companionship in verses 9 through 12. And he does so by basically painting a picture of four different situations, four illustrations of the importance of companionship in labor. First of all, you will get better results in your labor if you do it in companionship. Verse 9, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Solomon's observation, remember he's observing all these things, investigating them, recording them, and passing on his conclusions to us. And Solomon came to the conclusion that people who work in teams, who work in pairs, who work in companionship, have better results for their labor than those who don't. Now, those who work in isolation, the ones that he described in the previous section, are always of the opinion that they can achieve more working alone than they could working with someone. In other words, they're not at all convinced that working with someone will produce twice or more than twice as much result, as much profit, as they will get working alone. They're convinced that they are the ones that have the energy, the drive, the determination to work hard, and nobody else is going to share the same commitment to work that they have, and so they just prefer to work alone. And the picture he painted of that isolated hard worker is that they achieve a great deal of financial success by working alone in this way, but get no satisfaction out of it. And we'll not go back to that again. But now he suggests in verse 9 that as a general rule, in the long run, you'll actually get better results by working with someone. Now, obviously, it'll have to be somebody who is committed to work. You can't work with somebody who's lazy and work hard enough to overcome their laziness and still come out with a better result. If you're having to pull somebody else along because they're not holding up their end of the workload, then of course it would be better to work alone in that situation. But if you've got somebody who's committed to work and with whom you can share your work, you're going to get better results. That's what he says. And he's talking about the value of companionship in work. In one area, one obvious value is that you get better work results. But a second one is that companion is going to be available to help when help is needed. Verse 10, for if they fail, one will lift up his companion, but woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Well, we know that's true. How many a worker, say a farmer, out in an isolated situation working alone, or maybe a logger out in the forest, but someone has an accident in their work situation, their work day, and because they're working alone and nobody's expecting them back, and nobody's keeping tabs on them, this is the way they work all the time, they fall, sometimes badly injured, and nobody there to call for help, nobody there to help them, and they're in trouble, sometimes even will bleed to death, or their injury will become more serious because it doesn't get attended to quickly. And so there's another value of companionship in work. It'll give you somebody to help when you need help. When you're working and you have a heart attack, you better have somebody there to help you. If you're working alone, in isolation, you're in trouble. Well, third illustration is a kind of an amusing one to us today, but he says if you have a companion to work with, you can help keep each other warm. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm, but how will one keep warm alone? that doesn't really resonate with Americans in the 21st century because, number one, we don't get in very many situations where we need this kind of warmth. Generally, we have warm buildings in which to work when the weather's cold outside, and if we have to work outside in cold weather, we generally have good warm clothes that are designed for that kind of weather, so we don't get ourselves usually in trouble like this. And we're certainly not accustomed to lying next to one another, bodies touching, in order to share body heat, in order to keep warm. But there are those rare occasions when that does occur because it's needed. Maybe, again, out in the wilderness, camping, getting lost. Who knows? In a situation like that, if you're alone, you're in trouble. You may very well die from freezing to death. But if you have a companion and you can shelter up together and keep each other warm, that will save your life in that situation. So in those kinds of work situations where you're working outside in a cold climate, you better have a companion. Far better to keep yourself warm. And finally, number four, it's better to have a companion because that will defend you from assault. Verse 12, though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not easily broken. When you're alone, you're more easily overcome. If somebody is planning to do you mischief, you're an easier target. You can get picked off. Somebody can come up and knock you over the head and rob you, and you have no one to help. But if you have a companion, two can withstand the attacker more successfully than one. And so the concluding statement, that rather interesting statement at the end of verse 12, that a threefold cord is not quickly broken, is simply a way of saying that fulfillment in work requires others to join you in friendship and sharing. Yes, work can be a fulfilling aspect of life, but it isn't always. In fact, according to Solomon, it must not even often be as fulfilling as people think it's going to be. Again, it's one of those areas that appears to promise much, but because so many times it's not carried out wisely or righteously, with the right heart motives, with godly instructions in mind, it doesn't produce what you think it's going to produce in the way of fulfillment and satisfaction in life. More often, it ends up disappointing instead of producing what you thought it was going to produce. But if it's carried out properly, with the right attitude, a right heart motive, and that is more often done if you are working in companionship with others, in friendship, in sharing. Sometimes you see this kind of situation with brothers who are close to one another and choose to work together, and you almost envy how much they love each other, how much they help each other, how much they understand each other, how much they work together as a team because they do have this lifelong relationship. It's a beautiful thing. And that's what it takes to make work fulfilling in this life. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.